reflect on joy. First, we hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the risks you take in marriage is that you acquire an entire other family to whom you are now connected without any real choosing of your own. In my case, that has been a happy circumstance. Among the relatives I inherited is Kathy's Uncle David, who was a civilian engineer who worked for the Air Force. And when we would go visit him in Washington, D.C., he would ride his bike to work on the busy roadways of Washington to the Pentagon every morning, leaving us with a wave and the words, "I'm off to keep the world safe for democracy." And even though he was something of a dove in the midst of the Defense Department, or maybe because he was a dove in the midst of the Defense Department, I think he had a hand in doing just that. One of the unique things Uncle David does is collect lost positives. Lost positives, you know what those are, right? Neither did I. A lost positive is a word with a prefix or a suffix that is no longer a word when you remove the prefix or the suffix. Say, for example, return. Take the re off it, and you have turn. So to return is to turn again. That makes sense, right? But what about a word like volve? Is volve a word? Well, revolve is a word, but if you take the prefix off, you have volve. To volve again. I don't think so. Okay, you might know a remarkable person, but do you know any markable people? Neither do I. How about ruthless? We know ruthless people, but do you know any Ruth people? My Uncle David, mine too now, my Uncle David could go on and on. He would go on for 10, 15 minutes. He would list dozens and dozens and dozens of lost positives. And I could never come up with one that he hadn't thought of until just the other day. I almost called him because I was reading the New Testament lesson that says, the Apostle Paul's words, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. What does rejoice mean? To joyce again? I thought I had him. But then I was reading Anne Lamott, who is a writer, and he writes rather delightfully about her rather earthy faith. And she was writing about her pastor, who's the Reverend Veronica Goines of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Marin City, California. And she was writing about how her pastor says that the Bible constantly tells us to rejoice, but if we want to get our joyce back, then we need to have had joy before. Oh, foiled again. So joyce is a word. I like that, though. If we want to get our joyce back, I think we need to get our joyce back. For many of us, maybe most of us, joy is usually missing. So if we want to get our joys back, according to the Reverend Veronica Goines, we should think about where we might have left our joy before. Well, what is joy anyway? I mean, you can find all kinds of books about it. There's The Joy of Cooking. That one's been out for 75 years now. To me, it would be better titled The Joy of Eating, but it's called The Joy of Cooking. Here's one, The Joy of Vegan Baking. No lie, there really is a book, The Joy of Vegan Baking. Doesn't sound too joyful to me, but there's The Joy of Socks. You heard me right. It's about the cloth, you know, the wool things you can put on your feet. There is The Joy of Sex, too. I know about that. There's even The Joy of Home Brewing. Some of you are well aware of The Joy of Home Brewing. Now, I want to say that there's joy to be found in all these things. Certainly joy to be found in cooking. There's joy in sex. There's joy in socks, at least the white socks of 2005 when they finally won it all. Trying to keep you with me here now. There probably is even joy in vegan baking. But joy is to be found in the midst of life. But notice the Bible distinguishes between joy and happiness. Happiness is dependent on our circumstances. And we find happiness where we would expect to. We're happy when we get the college admission letter that welcomes us to the university. We're happy when we find the job. We're happy when we marry the person of our dreams. We're happy when we take the vacation. But joy is not dependent on our circumstances. So joy does not depend on the absence of sorrow or of pain. I mean, our happy moments may well be joyful ones, they often are, but one can know joy without being happy. I mean, how else would Paul say that we're to rejoice in the Lord always? I mean, he knows better than anyone. He's writing from prison. He knows that we're not always happy. Why would the prophet Habakkuk write, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, still I will rejoice in the Lord. Joy must come from a deeper place than happiness. So, if we are to joyce again, we have to go to that deep place and think about joyful moments in your life. I'm just going to toss out a couple of mine. I remember several years ago when our kids were small, sitting on the deck in the backyard one night, a beautiful summer night, one of those that's just the right temperature, just a little breeze blowing. You could hear the wind chimes from someone else's home tinkling in the distance. We're sitting there with friends, and their kids and ours are out playing down in the dark somewhere, hide-and-go-seek or some such game. And from somewhere below comes, floating on the breeze, the sound of laughter. The kids' laughter. The pure, delightful laughter of children. And in that moment, all seemed right with the world. Now, I look back on that moment, and despite the infinitely more complicated lives that all five of those children now lead, I still think of that moment as the truth about who they are as children of God. I think of that moment as the truth about who all of us are as children of God. Who all of us are still. Deep down, I think of that moment as a sign of the joy that is anchored firmly in the bedrock of human life, down there at the foundations of the world. But again, joy is not dependent on happiness. And so I recall another afternoon, 20 years ago now. It's a November day in Minnesota, which means it is frigid, cold, cold, cold. And I'm serving as a pallbearer at the funeral of my grandfather, a magical, mystical, wonderful woman who brightened the lives of all of her grandchildren for years and years. We lifted the casket out of its cradle. We stepped out through the double doors of this tiny Episcopal church up in northern Minnesota. and we stepped out into what seemed like the dead of winter. Except everything was gloriously alive. The cold air just caught my breath. I looked up, and right outside the doors were two immense evergreen trees. In fact, a whole forest of them, and they had all just been decorated with new fallen snow. Everywhere was life, and I could not help but believe that even though I was carrying the body of my grandfather, there was life for her too. Even in grief, it was a moment of beauty and life, and dare I even say, joy. A joy that I carry within me still. What are those moments of joy that you have had? Perhaps happy, perhaps not. That if you look, you'll find you carry it within you as well, even to this day. At the Last Supper, when Jesus sat at table for the last time with his friends before he died, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy may be full." This joy transcends happiness, this joy that comes from a deeper, deeper place. It reminds me of the words of Irenaeus, one of the fathers of the early church, who said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Well, maybe the glory of God is our joy. Our joy is when we're fully alive and when we're fully aware of it, no matter what's going on in our lives at the time. I've been thinking about these four Advent candles and the gifts that Christ brings us at Christmas, the gift Christ brings to all who inhabit this world, hope and love and peace and joy. And they're all gifts, it seems to me. They're all gifts that comes to us from the light that first shone in Bethlehem centuries ago. But I think joy is the most elusive. We can hold on to hope when times are tough. We can choose to love because love is something we do, not just something we feel. We can open our hearts to peace and prayer, or by lifting up to God the burdens we're carrying and asking God to bear them a while for us. But joy seems to just come upon us. Joy isn't something so much that we discover, as joy is something that discovers us. It discovers us on the deck in our backyard or after a funeral. It discovers us in a Christmas card that energizes the memory of our best friend from school years ago. Joy that comes to us when you buy the fire truck for that kid at the Busy Bee Childcare Center and you don't know his name, but you can just imagine his face when he opens it. It's the joy that comes when you suddenly realize that you've actually outgrown all those arguments you used to have with your father or with your son or whomever, because you realize those things just really aren't important anymore. C.S. Lewis, the English Oxford professor, wrote a book about how he turned from an atheist to a Christian, and he called that book Surprised by Joy. Maybe that's the way joy comes, as a surprise. And maybe our part is just to be surprised when joy comes. And then to trust that the joy that may seem so temporary may also be a sign of something that is true always. When I was in seminary, we would read a German theologian named Helmut Thielicke. I don't think they read him anymore, but he had been a pastor in Berlin during World War II. And toward the end of the war, he was leading worship, and the congregation was singing Jesus My Joy, a Bach piece, when suddenly the Allies began dropping bombs on the village. He told his parishioners to take shelter under the heavy wooden pews so that if there was any falling debris from the ceiling or the walls, they might be protected. As they did so, a few of the members of the church kept singing. They kept singing, "Jesus, my joy." And once everyone was hidden under the pews, the whole congregation began to sing. And then the organist reached up from behind the organ bench and over the keyboard and started to play the Bach piece with one hand. And then there came another sound. Another sound in the midst of the drone of the airplane engines and the bombs going off nearby came the unmistakable sound of laughter. Laughter. Surrounded by death, the people of God were laughing. You can hear that laughter as incredibly naive. Or you can hear that laughter as an expression of faith that is deeper down than doom and stronger than death. It raises the question, what really does lie at the heart of this life that we live? Is this faith that we have, is it our feeble attempt to protect ourselves from the great nothingness that awaits us after we die? Is our faith just an illusion? Is the joy we experience in such temporary ways just that, temporary, finite, nothing? If that's so, then that nothingness really begins right now. Or is our faith, whether it's the full-voiced Christian faith of those who can summon up laughter in the threat of violence, or whether it's a humble intuition that there has to be more than what we see, there has to be, is maybe that the way that God hints to us that death is not the end? Are those moments of joy we experience clues to a joy that is infinite, a joy that is eternal, a joy that will in the end right every wrong and correct every injustice, make whole all those who have been broken? I stake my own life on the conviction that there is indeed more than we see. That deep at the heart of things, there is life and not death. That as the book of Job put it, each and every day the morning stars still sing together and all the sons and daughters of God shout for joy. That when all is said and done, the end is not tears, not death, not nothingness, but life and laughter and joy. I could be wrong about that. But I believe that the laughter of my children and the beauty of those snow-covered trees and the words of Jesus are the clues to me of a joy that is at the heart of it all. A joy that is deeper down than doom. A joy that is stronger even than death. Now, too often I find my own spirit distant from that joy that I do trust. Too often I am paying attention only to the anxieties and the worries and the fears of my own little world, which are quite real and in their own way can be quite threatening. You know, I cannot stop paying attention to those concerns and worries and fears, and I can't imagine that the Apostle Paul, or for that matter, the living God, would be all that surprised that I can't stop paying attention to them. But what I can do is pay attention also to the moments of joy that I have known and the moments of joy that God sends to me still, because I trust them as the truth, the ultimate truth about where this world is going. I hold fast to the sure and certain hope that it is joy. Joy and not despair is where you and I are heading. And when I do that, then I can hear the laughter that is at the heart of the universe. Sometimes so softly I can barely make it out, but you know, other times it is so loud that I can barely contain myself. And then I know that even in the midst of my own anxieties and worries and fears, joy does discover me, and I can join the laughter. Pray with me. Gracious God, that laughter at the heart of the universe, in this holy season, give us the ears to hear. Faintly, perhaps, but the ears to hear it nonetheless, and the faith to laugh along. For Christ's sake, we ask it, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. Amen. Let's worship God now with our gifts and with song. And we give thanks today for the wonderful music of our bells and of our choir, and of our special musicians who have been accompanying all